We got you on the broadcast now, and it was just saying it was a great team victory, especially defensively. You knew it was going to be a tight game, probably a one shot to win it kind of game, and that's exactly what we got here tonight with Cameron Schmidt. That's certainly the guy you want with the game on his stick in a moment like that.
Definitely. I mean, it was a great great breakaway opportunity for him, and you know, we had a few throughout the game, so it was awesome to see him capitalize on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I saw him block a shot on the last couple seconds of this hockey game as well, and and you know, this game, obviously, you can again see, which we've seen over the last number of years with Cameron Schmidt, he's definitely a game changer. He's a game breaker. And I honestly, I love the way you guys are using him now. Penalty killing, you know, his anticipation is so good. His hockey sense is so good. His speed is good. And I've always said, Galen, I think he takes a little bit of bad rap for his defensive play, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. But I think he's being used exceptionally well right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's you know, an explosive player, right? And like you said, he anticipates plays. He sees things before they're happening. So, you know, in those situations, you want a player like that on the ice. And you know, we know what Schmidt can do offensively, but when he's buying into the structure and the systems, you know, stopping and starting and working his tail off, he's just incredibly valuable.
But you know what? I mean, you coaches, you obviously have a little bit of a problem on your hand because you want to cut him some slack to get that breakaway stuff. I mean, he anticipates when he's got room in the center ice to receive a pass because he knows nobody's going to catch him. So does he have to – I think I know the answer to my question. You don't want him cheating, but yet he's got to get into a spot where he can receive a pass and be that breakaway threat. Is that a dilemma?
You know, it's just pick your spots type of thing, right? I mean, I think of the situation in the game. Obviously, you know, it was tied up at that point. We needed one. You know, he decided to go for it. I think there are times in games where it's not necessarily, and you got to play, you know, you got to not cheat the game. But for sure, you know, with a guy like him, like you said, just anticipating plays like that, you know, he does it and he capitalizes.
I saw that as a 15-year-old. We brought him up in Tri-City in Spokane. He's 15. Those two games, Friday, Saturday, he had three breakaways. Again, I mean, and he's not quit that, but yeah, I mean, he was a big factor, no question. Did you feel you gave this team a little bit of momentum in that third period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, you got to expect that out of a good team like them. You know, they're heavy and they throw in pucks at the net and you know, causing chaos. But I thought our D zone coverage was pretty rock solid.
A lot of the talk pregame was the sort of head-to-head matchup of Carson Carroll and Ryan Lynn, you know, the two very highly touted defensive prospects. But I'm a goalie guy, so I was looking at the two guys in net, Josh Ravensburg and Burke Hood. You know, I'm sure Burke wouldn't admit it, but going head-to-head with a first-round draft pick like that, you know, trading shot for shot and ending up on the winning side of things, it's got to be a really good feeling for him in the room after this one.
Yeah, for sure. And he was, you know, we give him out the helmet there in the room, and he was definitely the winner. So the boys realize it. And, you know, Hooter, incredible game, and now he's getting rolling.
You know, I look at your forward group, and it's there. I mean, you got three lines. You make a fourth line, that's fine. That group is there. And I think, in my opinion, tonight, they really showed the offense that they could generate with their speed, their quickness to get away. I mean, how many two-on-ones, how many breakaways, you know, were there tonight? And you know what? Moving forward, Galen, that's pretty hard to defend. I mean, that's a threat you got.
Definitely, like a lot of speed up there, right? So when we can play with speed and you know, off the rush and everything, we're very, very effective. You know, I think getting a little bit heavier, you know, ways to create ozone time doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, in the battle all the time, moving the puck around, because again, we got speed, we can get to spots quick, and if we continue to use that, we're going to have success offensively.
Who jumped out at, other than Cameron Schmidt tonight, and obviously Burke Hood, who did you really say, hey, wow, this is a good effort by this individual? Anybody?
Well, I think the obvious one is Linner. I mean, you see it every game, so you might just be used to it, but I think he had a special one tonight.
Yeah. Good puck movement. People, I'd expect him to go coast to coast. That's not who he is, but he's going to move it out of there pretty well. But, no, I mean, that was great. And this is junior hockey, guys. Five goals Vancouver scored last weekend, every game five. And tonight, you know, they get two. They get one or two last night. You got a week off now till you play Tri-City. What's ahead for the week for the guys?
You know, obviously a day off tomorrow, give the guys a day of rest, and then back at it on Tuesday. I think we're going to continue to build off of, you know, the things that we've been working on and had success on, and then just add different things to our game that we feel, you know, are lacking.
Bill already mentioned that, you know, seemingly this team could get to five goals no problem over that last little stretch, but they win a 2-1 game here tonight. Is it important to show the guys that they can win in a variety of different ways? Because that's really what good teams do, right? You're not always going to get the five-goal performance. You might only get two, but now they know you can lock down a 2-1 game, even against a good team like Prince George.
Yeah, exactly. I think the guys got to realize, and I think we have been noticing that as we're winning these games, is like we got to play in the mud sometimes, right? So you got to play that hard, heavy game, and you know, not always is it going to come easy. Offense isn't always going to come easy.
I got a question about last night. Not disparaging anything or anybody, World Series, Game 7. Was it talked about at all in the dressing room? I mean, during the game. It's not a criticism, Coach, but in between periods or at any point, I mean, were you guys aware?
Well, of course. I mean, it's funny you say that because I think the fans were cheering, you know, at some points during the game, and we're like, well, we're not doing well here. So, so yeah, I think everybody's focus was there a little bit. Obviously, a little bit of a distraction, Halloween being the night before, but no excuses for our group. We wanted to have a better game for sure.
How are you enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it a lot. I love the staff. I love the players. I feel like, you know, we're really coming together, and that that brotherhood is coming together.
Refresh my memory. Saskatoon? I mean, I broadcast you. I know I did. I've been 25 years.
Yeah, no, I played for Saskatoon for 4 years, and then I went on to pro hockey. I was drafted to the Flames and played in Abbotsford Heat for a couple of years.
Well, it was an exciting game, and I just lost my train of thought. It was a question I was going to ask.
The only thing that concerned me, I thought you handled a team playing their third and three nights properly.
That was going to be my question, but preparing for...
You know, you had to make them work hard. Yeah. And I thought, I mean, opening the scoring is always important. Tittleback did a nice job of that. And, I mean, I could spend 15 minutes with you talking about Tyus Sparks. I'm not that high on that kid, and I think the scouts upstairs were talking about him too. And you know, I said to Brooke Ward the other day, I said, you know what? When you go up in this media room, you hear scouts talking about players, okay? And I think Sparks is going to be one of the situations where at some point they quit talking about the same guy. They don't want to share any information. And I think it's early, but I think at some point he might be one of those guys. I mean, the stretch passes he makes, the pass he made to Tittleback for the goal, it's pretty impressive. And he can shoot. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Heavy shot, you know. His A game is outstanding. I think sometimes, you know, when everyone has it, right, sometimes you just have, like, a B game, right? But I think him just being heavy all the time, heavy in front of the net, winning battles, like, that's going to go a long way for him because he's a big, strong boy.
Galen, do you see Tomic making some advances in terms of his quickness, his speed, understanding how the pace at which you got to play this game here?
Definitely. I think he's most effective when he's moving his feet. Sometimes he can get planted a bit, but I think, like, as he sees the speed of the game, he's getting used to it, like you mentioned. When he moves his feet, he is very effective.
It's funny, I said on the broadcast, I said, one thing about Tomic, he can never have a glide in his game. There can't be glide in that kid's game.
Yeah.
He's got to work. I mean, he comes with a scouting report on him that this kid's got plays with a terrific amount of pace. No, I liked your group. I don't know. We won't keep you much longer. I think this is a big step forward. Mind you, going back to last night, I did not mind that game, to be honest with you. I thought there was a lot of good things happening that, but when you're giving up, you know, when you give up a couple questionable goals and combine that with the other goaltender being the number one star and the best player in the building, that's a tough road to climb. And I think you responded beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, we're definitely proud of the group, the way we responded. I think, you know, it was kind of like we needed some more inflatable, you know, like, moments to get us going, and we just didn't really have that against Kelowna. And like you said, there were some good things. I think our exits, you know, were high percentage exiting the zone and things like that. So we took the positives and took them into the night.
You mentioned the three games and three nights for Prince George, Bill. A bit of a weird schedule for Prince George at the start of the year. I think you said they played one BC team going into this one. Does that make
all
it,
U.S. division?
Yeah. Brother. Does that make it harder for you, your job, to prepare to play these guys? When you know you look at their record, 9-5. Okay, they're a decent team, but they're not really matching up against teams that you've seen before. Does that make it harder for you to kind of gather their strategy a little bit when it comes down to that?
Not really, to be honest. I think you pre-scout the team the same way, and with our staff, we got a great video coach in Jarvis, you know, getting that ready for us, and mm-hmm. I take care of the defensive side of things, what our D are going to see, and Wasey and Parker handle the forwards.
Hey, the penalty kill, I think is completely different than it was a couple, you know, a month ago when we were on that Eastern trip. Way more aggressive challenges. And, you know, I mean, remember clearly it seemed like the opposing team on the power play had nothing but room to make plays, passes through the seam. I'm talking about a month ago. And this is the beauty of the Western Hockey League. The team you end up with in April is never the team that you start out in September. And have you seen significant improvement overall in this club even this year?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, it was a good preseason, so it was kind of like, you know, we thought, okay, that's where we're at, and then we hit the regular season and, you know, got our teeth kicked in a bit. And, you know, just in every part of the game, right? I think we were taking way too many penalties. There was, you know, I think back to that one in PA where we had like two back-to-back 5-on-3s. Like,
yeah.
What team can really handle that? I mean, so we put ourselves in trouble early, but getting out of that, you know, the depths there, getting out of that as a team, I think really builds it. And you know, everyone recognizes that. And I think that's putting us on the right direction.
Other than Lynn, as a defensive coach, who has made the most who's improving on the back end for you right now?
I would say Lance McCloskey. You know, from where he's came, you know, it's a big step for him. And at first, you know, like everyone kind of getting their feet wet and everything, and things weren't going exactly his way. But I think like he strung together a lot of good games, and you know, he's playing very well, very good hockey back there.
USA U18. Across all of America, I don't know how many people know that he led all defensemen.
Yeah.
They listed 100, and he was the leading scorer of all 100 players. His dad was in here the other day, introduced himself, which was very kind. Last night, actually, as a matter of fact, and he says, "You still haven't seen the best of my kid." So that's great. I mean, I think he's adjusting beautifully to the. He's forced his way into the top two pairing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Good for you. Good job. Is he fun to work with?
Oh yeah, he's a great kid. He's very smart.
Well, that's awesome. We'll let you go. Thanks for doing this, Coach. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look forward to the weekend.
Right on. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.